Welcome back. I told you, listen, Jed never lies. That's what you need to know. I told you we were going to have an amazing guest today, and we do. I'm going to do a proper intro, even though you know him. Hafiz is in the house.
Yes.
Let's just say that he is in the house. You know him. You love him. But I need to do a proper introduction because I'm professional, as you know. Hafiz Bahoku. Am I saying that right? Bahoku.
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 But you tried your best. That's all that matters.
Bahoku. I tried my best. Listen, my name is Jedediah. Yeah. Everybody gets that wrong. So we have that in common. He's the host of the Roommates podcast. They've got almost 530,000 subscribers over there now. They're doing hot content. He's also the co-founder of The Standard, which is fascinating. I looked it up last night. It is a clothing collection. It's more than just a clothing collection, but there's a clothing collection for men who want to be more, do more, and have more,
yes.
Which I love. I noticed right away, I pulled up outside and I said, that's Hafiz looking sharp, looking sharp as always. But they also do a lot of networking, community stuff at The Standard, mentorship opportunities. So people should check that out. And today he is here with me. We're going to be breaking down so much stuff. I've watched a lot of your content, kind of get a feel for who you are and what you value. And what I want to talk with you about today, several things. But first and foremost, for me, when I look at the dating culture right now, it's broken. I mean, it is so badly broken. There's so much distrust from women to men, from men to women. And I'm someone who really does believe in marriage and family and believe that women and men can have a beautiful connection that can be so good for children and stability, and that bleeds out into society at large and is so important for community. But I'm looking at what's going on right now and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know how you get back to that. So I just want to get, before we go to the clip, your initial thoughts on that.
Now, this is really good, and I'm excited about being here. I think this is going to be a really fun conversation. I'm really excited to bring out that Jedediah. I want that. That's what I'm here for. But I'm really excited because I think intersection between politics and relationships, which is a phenomenal job that you're doing, is exactly the conversation that's needed to really break down what's going on. Because think about what you just said. You said men and women are divided now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Republicans and Democrats are divided now more than ever. You said we're better together. Mm-hmm. Families are better together. America is better when people are together. So it's a very similar things that are going on. And the more you understand the issues that lead to the divisiveness of America, the more you understand the issues that lead to the divisiveness between men and women as well. So I view a lot of similarities because, as you pointed out, like, things are getting worse, though they're getting better in some areas. Things are getting worse, but I truly believe that the intersection between politics and relationships really provide a lot of solutions for us in everyday
lives. See, you're talking about, of course, you know, he starts talking politics. You know I'm going to have to go on a tangent. Tyler's here, by the way. Tyler, who I saw, someone in the chat referred to him as Top G. I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw it yesterday. So Top G is here, and he's going to be managing the chat. So please, you know, subscribe, hit your like button, of course, but get your questions, your thoughts, your comments into the chat. Super chats, Tyler's going to be reading throughout the show. So that's super important. Hi, everyone. I see you. You know I do. You know, the challenge now, I think, with politics is that it's gotten so bad over the last few years. And I think you saw division with the COVID mandates, and you saw so many people that wanted to take the other side out. Mm-hmm. I had never seen people suddenly look at others like they weren't human anymore, mm-hmm. or they didn't have dignity, or, hey, you don't have the right to individual freedom because, you know, suddenly you're not a person to me because you don't want to get this vaccine, or you were advised against it by your doctor. So it's so ugly now that you actually hear conversations about a national divorce.
100%.
So you're talking about divorces, and yeah. We're going to get into the divorce rate in relationships, but you're seeing now a real conversation by people saying maybe this country needs to split and that we can't come to the center. I never supported that. I was always somebody who, you know, I worked on The View. I was always somebody like, reach across the aisle, have that conversation. But I lived through that act of discrimination in New York City when I chose not to get the vaccine. And I started to think, wow, there are people on the other side that are really fundamentally interested in just taking me out.
Yeah.
They don't want to have that conversation with me. So how am I going to have that conversation with them? So I want to ask you about that politically, and also maybe in the dating sphere, you have like men or women who feel like the other the other sex just doesn't want to hear my perspective.
100%.
So how am I gonna make it work if they're not even willing to listen?
I love everything that you just said, and I love what you described about America. Because me and my friend Francis, shout out my friend Francis, we have these conversations all the time, and we talked about the great divorce that's happening in America, right? And so it's very interesting that you bring that up, because eventually what happens is that in America, words don't mean the same thing. So you see the breakdown of language, right? Like, it's a very neo-Marxist idea, very post-postmodern idea, but it's a breakdown of language where one word means something fundamentally different for two people. Right. Like, let's blow it up. Abortion. Mm-hmm. Person A thinks abortion means I am terminating my pregnancy and doing something that is my liberty as a citizen to be freely free to do. So I should have the freedom as an individual to terminate my pregnancy. It's my freedom as a citizen. Mm. Then the other person thinks abortion means killing a baby.
Right.
It's you are actually killing a baby. But when you have two people who fundamentally to their souls, it's like a religion, like they fundamentally believe these two diametrically opposed ideas. How do they exist in a country? Mm-hmm. How do they exist together? How do they both live in the same city? Right. So what you're seeing now, like you said, is this divorce, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have the people who are more left leaning want to go to New York, people who are more right leaning want to go to Florida and Texas and Tennessee. Like, you're seeing people separate. And so, yes, there is a lot of division and animosity because words don't mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. And when words don't mean the same thing, you can say something and someone in the other team thinks you're saying this, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So in relationships, it's very similar. There is a demonization that I've seen occur between men and with women, mm-hmm. right? You have the far right people, who a lot of them are in the red pill community, and then you have the far left with the radical feminists, right? You have the radical red pill guys, radical feminist types, far right, far left, and then obviously you have most people, same people who are in the middle. And both of those teams think the other person is the enemy. Mm-hmm. The same way there's people right now who will look at you, Jedediah, as a conservative-leaning woman, even though you're independent, and say, she is the enemy of America. Mm-hmm. I cannot talk to you because you are the enemy, and I can only tear you down because you are a future Nazi that's going to put us all back in concentration.
People
that's,
say that.
That's how they view you,
it's
right?
True, I know.
So if they view you as a Nazi, how can you talk to a Nazi? Mm-hmm. How can you negotiate with a Nazi? So end of the day, they have to do one thing, demonize you, make you radioactive, because that's the only way to be able to, in their brains, create a healthier society. So when women do the same thing to men and they view men as that, they have to demonize it, they have to make them radioactive. And when the community of men do the same thing to women, you only see why it's almost impossible for both of these sides to come together.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true. That's happening across the board. I want to go into one of the aspects, this first aspect that it talks about courting. It's a great clip from Just Pearly, actually. It talks about courting and what has happened to gentlemen and what women are really looking for in society, because I think this relates to what you were saying about how women demonize men, men demonize women. And what I'm really trying to figure out in all of this is what's the truth? Mm-hmm. What's real here? Yes. Like, let's distinguish between a reaction, which is like a defense, knee-jerk reaction to what someone's saying, an emotional reaction oftentimes, and what do people actually feel and what do they actually want? So I wanna dig into this. Tyler, if you can play that clip, please.
To give you a little devil's advocate here, because okay. I don't think your generation really understands this.
Okay.
For men, like, women like guys that sleep around and treat, like, women, modern women don't like men that treat them like queens. And the problem is, like, if guys aren't sleeping around, they start to, like, think too highly of each girl and treat them too well, and modern women don't like that. It's not like in your generation where, like, a girl's courted and, like, they respect it. Mm-hmm. And they're excited, and then you can just court the nice girl and she wants you. Like, for them, it's like, basically, if they give a girl everything she wants, then she doesn't like them. And girls don't like guys that don't sleep around. Like, they only want guys that sleep around. Auntie, I'm just...
So when I'm left watching that, you know, I've watched it several times, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'm like, oh, I agree. And then I'm like, but wait, is that 100% right? So what I'm trying to figure out about modern women. You know, I was in the dating world a while ago. Yeah. It's been several years. I'm married, this is gonna be 5 years now. I dated my husband for 3 years before that. So it's been a while. Yeah. But what I'm trying to figure out is, do modern women, do they not want like a good guy?
Yeah.
Or do they just not want a doormat?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between courting someone and being that doormat who's like, babe, what do you need? What can I do? You're always available for them. You're always picking up the phone. You're 100% on them. You're looking like you don't have your own life.
Yeah.
That's very different from a gentleman who has his own life, has his shit together, is doing his own thing, but also wants to be that gentleman, open those doors, invite you to dinner, all of that. So I'm trying to figure out, is she right or is she wrong?
Listen, she's right and she's wrong. And you have to break down the nuance of the conversation. And I'm going to keep on going things to politics because I think politics is fun. I like what you mm-hmm. do. I'm going to make some examples. When you use the term modern women, what mm-hmm. are you even? That's a loaded word. That's like using the term you're on the right. There's many different kinds of people on the right. You have far right, you have moderate left, you have rhinos, you have conservative, you have MAGA. You have a lot of people who are part of that group. So when people use the word modern woman, it's like, what does that word even mean? What are you entailing? Is that Generation Z? Is that Generation Y? Is that Generation, like, what are you talking about? What
to me, that means someone who's right now in this moment dating.
Okay, so is a 65-year-old grandma whose husband just died?
No.
Because, is she a modern woman?
No.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So like when we use these words, it's like, what are people saying? So let's use a general word. Let's say women between the ages of 18 through 40, okay. Usually young women who are dating, are they like that? First and foremost, generalizations do well on the internet. Women today are delusional. Men today are irresponsible. Generalizations do well for clickbait, but they don't do well in the conversation because you cannot generalize all people into one group. So when you're saying all modern women, are you telling me that the women in Seattle, Washington are the same as the women in Birmingham, Alabama? Mm-hmm. Are you telling me the women in Manhattan, New York City are the same women as Des Moines, Iowa? It's not the same thing. And anyone who's been around the country can tell you this. There's nuance. There is universal similarities because we're all in the same country. But there is nuance, right? Like the liberal-leaning person in freaking Portland, Oregon is totally different than the liberal-leaning person in Atlanta, Georgia. It's nuance to the conversation. So the very first thing is that modern women is a lot of different types of modern women. Is there a group of modern women who don't like men who are not sexually promiscuous? Yes, there is a group of modern women who don't like that. But let's define what is going on. When are they simply attracted to the man because they're simply sexually promiscuous? Is that the only thing that's turning them on? But let's dive into it because, like I said, it's a loaded statement. What about that man that is turning her on? Mm-hmm. Because obviously in a true kind of a paradoxical nature, she probably doesn't like the idea of him sleeping around. Mm-hmm. So why would she be attracted to the idea of him sleeping around? So let's break down what is going on. So what you analyze is that usually a guy who is sleeping around with other women is usually a guy that other women want, other women desire, mm-hmm. other women value, other women respect. So therefore, this is probably more an established, successful, attractive guy mm-hmm. that's existing. So when they're looking at the guy and say, well, women like him because he's sleeping around. That's a simple narrative. Me and Francis always say, whenever someone gives you a simple narrative to a complex problem, you know that person has a very myopic solution. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest issue that you're realizing is that that's a simple narrative. There's many different factors to why he's attractive. And those contributing factors will make other women want to be with him. But to simply attribute it to the only thing that these women are turned on by is him sleeping around. And then the other part, women don't want men who respect them, right? So it's like, is that all women? Does every single woman in America not like men who respect them, right? Do you not like men who respect you?
I wouldn't consider myself a modern woman, though.
Yeah.
Based on my definition. So my definition, yeah. The reason I feel, and I agree that I generally don't like generalizations. I'm not. I'm somebody who, for a very long time in politics, refused to say the right, the left, yes. because I felt there was too much nuance because the left was, you know, Joe Manchin, and who's pretty moderate, and then the left was AOC, who's 100%. Like all the way out. Yeah. However, because of what's happened with technology now, and because now I feel like women who grow up in New York City and women who grow up in a small town in Iowa are exposed to a lot of the same stuff mm-hmm. via social media. I feel really comfortable saying that a vast majority of modern young women are absorbing and regurgitating feminist garbage. Modern feminist garbage. There's too many of them. And when I came into this debate, It's interesting because I was a little bit defensive because I was hearing people in the red pill community, mostly men, talk about women like women are doing this and women are doing that. And I'm a woman, right? So I'm like, hold up. You know, I didn't live like that. I don't do that. I wasn't walking into the sexual marketplace and advertising this and that. And, you know, I wasn't sleeping around. So I was defensive because I wanted to protect the idea that there are women like me and that those women do still exist. Mm-hmm. However, as I've just absorbed so much content and watched so many women talk, I'm horrified by how many young women are comfortable being slutty, are comfortable being promiscuous, are comfortable acting like what I used to call badly behaved men. But when I say that, I mean men who are promiscuous, men who sleep around. They've lost what makes women, to me, valuable and special and beautiful.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And to me, I agree. And but like I said, I want to take it a bit deeper. So we do live in a digital age. So culture now gets permeated a lot faster and it's able to be spread a lot quicker, right? So because of the digital age, things that are culturally relevant in a New York City can mm-hmm. also be culturally relevant in a place like St. Paul's, Minnesota, right? So there is that cultural thing that goes on. So there are similarities, right? I will never deny there are similarities that are going on in today's society between all different groups. My biggest argument is that to the levels that it exists in certain places. Like you go to Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. Miami has a huge sugar baby Instagram culture. Atlanta's the very same. You cannot tell me, oh, the same sugar baby culture in Miami is also going on in South Dakota at the same levels and percentages. It's not yeah. like there's nuance to it. And so while I do agree with you that there is cultural things going on with women where they are more sexually promiscuous, there is this OnlyFans culture. I'm agreeing that there is a culture, but what I don't like, and this is why I'm always trying to bring nuance to the conversation, is that so many men think that's everybody. Mm-hmm. They think it's every single woman is like this, right? Yeah. It's like political. Every person who's right-leaning is a MAGA person, a diehard MAGA. Every person's mm-hmm. like, I don't like, because then there's no longer a conversation with the people. And instead, what I truly believe is in today's society, we have to celebrate what we want to see more of. That's how you incentivize good behavior. If all we do is spend all our time talking about the craziest, most delusional, unhealthy, toxic women, they're getting attention. That's their currency in today's age. Mm-hmm. The currency of today's era is attention. So if we're spending all of our time, energy, effort, and talking about them, giving them views, giving them attention versus incentivizing women such as yourself, classy women, instead of talking about them, mm-hmm. giving them likes, giving them content, we need to incentivize them. Because when a young woman goes on the internet and she's seen all those other girls are going viral, she's going to be more incentivized to do that behavior versus let's incentivize the others. Yep. So I agree with you that there is a cultural issue amongst women. We can talk about how it's gotten there. But my biggest thing is that by simply making it seem like it's all women, it discourages men. It also encourages younger women to continue that behavior.
We're going to get to attention because I'm interested in why you think men give low value women mm-hmm. attention 100%. Repeatedly. So we can talk about that in a second. I just want to say I do understand the defensiveness of men in this moment in a lot of respects. And I know it's not a good thing to group all women into one. Of course, there's going to be outliers. There's going to be great women out there who they don't need to be defensive with. But I understand the instinct right now because we're living in a time that repeatedly demonizes men. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always reference the Justice Kavanaugh trials and what they did to him. It was horrible. The assumption that he was guilty, the criminalizing him on second one with no evidence. I think men often feel, and rightfully so, that they're under attack. Toxic masculinity, 100%. These terms are out there. So they feel like they need to defend who they are, what makes a man a man. I mean, you can't even say the word man and woman anymore. We're 100%. Living in such a crazy time. And I think I relate it to politics in the same sense that I feel defensive against the left right now because I'm watching the left wreck cities around the country. Yeah. I'm watching crime. I'm watching these once beautiful neighborhoods. I'm watching New York City, my hometown, get destroyed. So I'm now at a point where I feel like people, and I get it, are saying, enough. Like, I'm not signing up for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing your game. I'm not playing nice with you anymore because you're out to deplete me, the things that I value and the things that made this country great. And one of the things that made this country great is an acknowledgement that men and women are different. Mm-hmm. And we each bring different, beautiful things to the table. But if you remove that and you discredit men, and now all of everything that they are proud of as far as their masculinity is labeled toxic, that's a problem. That's a really, really big problem. So I do understand some of the defensiveness.
100%. And to me, you know, doing what I've been doing for such a long time, I've told people this, you can go back to, I have YouTube videos from 2012 where I'm talking about these topics and issues about what's plaguing men. I've been really passionate about helping mm-hmm. see men's lives transform since I was 19 years old. I was elementary school teacher, preschool teacher, high school teacher, and middle school teacher. I've taught men at all ages, and I also mentored kids in college. So I've told people, like, if there's anybody who understands yeah. the struggles of men, there's me. I brought in all the different experts from Dr. Jordan B. Peterson to Dr. Warren Farrell, Dr. Jonathan Heights. I brought in all the leading experts to talk about these issues. So I'm extremely well-versed and passionate about everything that you said. But here is the uniqueness. This is where I've changed my tone a little bit. Because it's, yes. Are men under attack? Yes. Are men being shamed? Yes. Are they shaming men in their masculinity? Yes. Do men are having less rights? Yes. What do we do now? Because what happens is, what I find so often on the internet is they just want to stay there. Let's just do all our content about what's wrong in today's world, what's right. wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. We know it's wrong. Now what do we do? Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference. You hate New York City is garbage, trash, liberal policies that you can't stand, leftist policies that you can't stand. You want to leave and you come to a different place, right? You move. But here's the difference between men and women. Men and women can't move and get another person. You know what I mean? There's no third or fourth third species. You know, like, there's none of
you
that.
You never know in 2022.
Hey,
you never
robots.
Know.
Robots.
The robots are coming.
You know, so to me, it's like, we have to find a solution. That's right. What I'm passionate about nowadays. We know the problem. Like, I've been on YouTube for 6 years. We've been talking about, some people are literally making their money talking about the same problem every single day. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about solutions. And so to me, that's where I understand that what men are going through. How do we solve this? That's what I'm obsessed with right now.
I hear you. I'm a solution-driven person, so I completely empathize with that point. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about this. This is a clip from your content talking about what women want, is a general way to put it. Let's play that number two, Tyler.
Yeah. Hey, if that's what she wants, that's what women want. Let me be kind, let me be sweet, let me be caring, let me be, you know, loyal, let me be all these things. And then I'll get all the girls that I want. And a lot of guys take that advice, they apply it, and then they realize they're not winning.
Very unsuccessful.
They're realizing that they're not getting a lot of girls. But then they look across the way. They see Chad. Mm-hmm. They see Tyrone.
Yeah, I love Tyrone, baby.
They see Javier. They see Abdul.
I should hit all the ethnicities in my
head. He
names somebody of every ethnicity and he gives them a name. I thought that was cool.
Okay, we can stop there, Tyler. So I think this is a great point that you're making, which is that if these are all the things that women want, or they say they want, and then those guys aspire to it, achieve it, and put it front and center, then it gets rejected. And you go on to talk about what makes a woman happy versus what makes a woman horny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've always said, you've got to have both. 100%. You have to be the combo package. If she's not attracted to you, it's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah.
If she's attracted to you, but she's not happy, she's miserable all the time, she's worried, she's stressed out, that's not going to last
100%.
Either. So I'm curious, first and foremost, do you think women lie to themselves and to others about what they want? We showed a clip the other day that you had a bunch of women that were talking about, oh, I don't care about salary, I don't care about this. And then a few minutes later, you ask them how much they want their man to make, and it's over 100K.
Yeah, yeah.
So are they lying?
Yes and no. A lot of my answers today are going to be yes and no. And I want to give as much nuance to these conversations, because I love these conversations. They're like 5 hours conversations condensed into an hour. So yes and no. What I've realized is, in my personal opinion, if you get a woman and you put her on camera who's not a professional such as yourself, and you ask her questions that may make her look bad, she's gonna say things that make her look good. Mm-hmm. So it's this interesting theory that David Deda talks about women and how their image is so important and not being shamed is so important. So they'll say things in the moment to make you feel good. It's like mom, right?
Yeah.
Mom, that's what mom does. Mom won't kill you. She'd be like, how about those red shoes instead? Like, she won't be like, dad's like, yo, those shoes are ugly, take them off.
My mom tells me straight, for the record.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom's like, honey, take that off, don't look good.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like some moms are direct, yeah. But a lot of moms are going to give you a little softer. Bit of sauce, a little grandma might give you some sauce. So there's a level of that. So they're not 100% honest. Mm-hmm. So so that's why I don't do the women, I don't do it anymore. Because I like, if I'm going to get the honest truth, I got to turn off the cameras. Mm-hmm. When you turn off the cameras, then you get the honest truth. It's a lot of ideas are conflicting in their brains and they don't really understand why they're conflicting in their brains. So going back to the nice guy conversation, what a lot of guys do is they simply become nice guys. Like their mom raised them, as Dr. Robert Glover talks about, to be this anti-man. This nice, sweet guy who's charming, who does everything that women want, who's constantly obedient and he's whatever she wants, he'll take care of her. He does that his entire life. He gets no respect. He gets walked all over. He gets treated like a second-class citizen. And then across the way, there's a guy who's rude and disrespectful, a little bit abrasive, and he has women flocking to him. Mm-hmm. And then the nice guy says to himself, well, I'm doing everything nice. He's doing everything wrong. What? Screw being nice. Let me be wrong. Mm-hmm. But what you don't realize is you're doing it wrong and he's doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. The nice guy is wrong, and also the playboy is doing it wrong, right? And so what you see is that the nice guy does everything that makes women happy, but doesn't do anything that makes women horny. The playboy does all the things that make women horny, but doesn't make women happy. But here's the difference. Horny gets them in the room. Happy keeps them in the room. Mm-hmm. So the nice guy, the reason why he gets no girls, because he has no one to come into the room.
Right.
There's no girls who are interested that want to give him an opportunity to get to know him, to date. Mm-hmm. So when he meets that one girl who's really into him, he latches on like no tomorrow, makes her his queen, because that's the only girl giving him attention. And so then the playboy, he gets girls who love him and sleep with him and do whatever they want, but they never stay unless they're toxic themselves, because it's so miserable to be with a guy who just genuinely does not care. You know, no human being, unless you have, what is that syndrome when you like your captors? Stockholm syndrome, right?
Yep.
Like, unless you have that in the back of your mind, you're not going to stay with someone who's treating you like a half-class citizen and spitting on you and beating you up the whole time. Some people are like that. It's unfortunate. But most rational women, especially if you have a good dad, won't let you deal with that. So a lot of men don't realize it's not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The nice guys say, screw being nice. I'm simply going to be like him. That's wrong. And that's what you saw what happened in the pickup world. There's a really popular book called The Mystery. The Pickup Artist. Now, what's Neil's? The Game. Neil Strauss is The Game. It's a very popular pickup book. And it's this very famous pickup artist named Mystery. And the book opens so magic, like so amazing the book opens, because Mystery is this pickup artist who's had sex with some of the most beautiful women in the world. He's mastered the skill of meeting women, attracting women. He's mastered it. And the book opens up with Mystery trying to kill himself because the girl that he's really into has just left him. And they're having to rush him to go see a psychiatrist so he wouldn't end his life. Because he learned all the skills to attract women. He never learned the skills to retain women. Mm-hmm. And so what guys don't realize is you have to be both. You have to have the skills to be attractive, to be charming, to be intelligent, to be masculine. But you also have to have the skills as well to be respectful, kind. And that's what's missing in today's conversation, because everyone's telling men to do these short-term strategies, and it will get you laid. Mm-hmm. But if you're a man of value, you don't just simply want to get laid, you want to leave a legacy. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the things I realized. So when women can't fully communicate all those things, you know, and so they'll just give some of the platitudes, like, I want a guy who's nice and sweet. They don't really understand the nuances to really how they're feeling. And for me, I found it best when you're talking to women is to ask them to describe feelings versus facts. I think women are way better at describing things that attract them based upon feelings versus say, tell me how much money a guy makes. Because they'll just give you a random number, right? Mm-hmm. They'll say like 500, three. They'll give you
the
biggest.
They do. And it's straight up, yeah. It's a high number.
It's
always a high number.
But then you find out, show me the guy you're dating. He never makes that much money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, guys, they're not really meaning this stuff. It's just for guys. He's for gays. He's not real. You know, it's just saying these things on platforms.
See, I don't think most women want to be cheated on. Yeah. I don't think that's stressful. And I don't think they want a guy, if they're looking long term, They don't want a guy they have to worry about constantly. Yeah. I think what they want is someone who has their own identity, has their own life, has their own goals, someone who does want to be masculine, is masculine, as, you know, dresses well, can defend and protect the home, is the person who says, it's my job to pay the bills here, I want to be, you know, I want to support you and the home and the children, is a good father, all of those things. But I think they also want the guy who can walk into that bar. Other women want him, but he doesn't give them time.
Yes.
And that's what I think they want.
You're 110,000% Jedediah. And that's the part that guys need to understand. And I made the point where men say this phrase like, yo, men are the prize. Men are the prize. You want your women to treat you like a king. And my thing is, peasants don't get treated like kings. Mm-hmm. They don't. So you have to, if you want king level treatment, I talk to my guys about this in the standard, you got to be a king yourself. And my friend Joey talks about this idea of, like, this is a popular Netflix show called Bridgerton. I'm not sure if you've seen it before. And he talks about, like, what does it mean to be a duke and an earl back in the day? It wasn't just so much you were born into it. You had to learn how to read, fence, do poetry. Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to be a well-rounded. You got to be a well-rounded. Right. That's how it always was. You know, like, literally, I always butcher this, but I believe Alexander the Great's father was Philip of Macedon. Alexander the Great's mentor was Aristotle. Mm-hmm. You know? So Aristotle and Plato always get those two things confused. And so it was like Alexander the Great, he was a warrior of warriors, but he had some of the wisest Greek philosophers encouraging him and equipping him. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like, as a man, women do want that guy. And it takes you a long time to build it. But like I said, too many men in today's world, first they were lied to by mom. Because mom, sometimes when women are just pure attraction, from, it's all my opinion. Now, I want to clarify, whenever I say something today, it's all my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of these guys that everything I say is facts and from my book, if, right? It's all my opinion. But what happens also in today's world that you realize is that there's a community of women who are attracted to a certain kind of guy. And that certain kind of guy may have been a playboy, may be aggressive, may be more of the freelance, I'm going to do my own thing. You know, Papa was a Rolling Stone kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I don't want my son to be that. I want my son to be the opposite of him. Mm-hmm. I want him to be nice and sweet and treat women well and all these things. But what she doesn't realize is you're equipping your son to not be able to attract a woman like you. Because at the end of the day, his father was able to get you not by being nice, not by being sweet. He didn't have that. He had other skills. So it's both, right? Mm-hmm. It's take the good with the bad, right? What are the good, healthy, masculine skills that make men genuinely attracted to women? And what are also the positive, healthy skills that make you be a good long-term partner? And in today's society, we don't have the nuance because it's either or. Either be this, you know, this Disney Channel, you know, male feminist type who's her best friend, do whatever she wants. I'm going to wash your dishes. I'm going to, you know, paint your toenails. I'll paint my toenails with it. Or you're the opposite end of the extreme, right? Where you're this great macho. I'm a man. I'm high value. I should be able to have my options. And you should just sit down and be submissive and cook me dinner, woman. Like, it's all about balance.
Yeah, and it also comes through the media, though. Like, I'm watching The Handmaid's Tale right now. Yeah. I enjoy it. I like it. I'm on the current episode. And she's married. She's been through it, the main character. She's been through it all. She was a handmaid. She escapes. And her real-life husband, they wind up getting captured. And what you see is this very powerful, very stoic, very in-control woman. And this guy is a hot mess. He collapses under the weight of stress. He's panicked. He's pacing around. And I just looked at it and I said, they want you to think that this is real, but that's not 99% of, that is not what happens 99% of the time.
100%.
During COVID times, I had a little baby at a 4-month-old. I was running around the house in panic initially. Yeah. I had lost my mind. My husband was eating ice pops and he was just like, babe, calm down. It's fine. Like, he is the calm and I am the storm.
Yes.
That is reality. But there's this desire now to put out there that A, it's okay for men to be weak and lean on their woman, and the woman is the strong, tough, stoic one, and the guy is just kind of like waiting for her to tell him what to do, that it's okay. And secondly, that it's desirable. And it's not desirable because ultimately women don't want that. They don't want someone that they have to take care of in every capacity. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. It's not. They will leave that guy in 2 seconds. So I think media plays a role in just, not to use an overplayed word, Tyler will love this one, misinformation.
100%. 100%. And the media misinformation doesn't work in the real world, right? So like you said, they'll paint. I've always asked the question, why is the main character in romance novels and that women actually spend money to buy never that guy? Why is the main character in 50 Shades of Grey this multi-billionaire, mm-hmm. handsome, masculine dude that chokes you out and smacks you around and you like it? Mm-hmm. Why is the dude always this rugged, Western, you know, horseback rider, multi-millionaire right. who happens to also like play the acoustic guitar and sing? Why is he always a masculine, dominant, confident, assertive man that the books women are reading? If women like that guy so much, where are the multi-million, billion-dollar books about that character?
Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting topic. I always bring up The Notebook, which is a movie that women love.
Yeah, yeah.
And the lead character in that, he starts off young, so some argue he's a little feminine in the beginning, but he's young. He's supposed to be playing a kid, but that guy is a good combo package. Now, I realize, guys at home, I realize he's not real.
Yes,
he
yes,
is
yes.
a written character. Yes. You cannot compete with him. Don't try to compete with him.
Ryan Gosling, we love you.
You shouldn't try to compete with him. Ryan Gosling's not that guy, not that Noah Calhoun. Yeah, but what's interesting is that that guy is really appealing, even to me, if I look objectively, and I say, well, he is romantic. He does write her, you know, her love letters. He does love her, but he also built a whole big house for her to live in. He's a blue collar guy. He looks rugged. He's not painting his fingernails and worried about being, you know, super. He's a guy's guy who fell in love with a woman. And you'll notice that it's what's really interesting is he has an affair with another woman in the movie. And you see that he's kind of closed off to her. He's not into her. He's still able to sleep with her, which is would probably happen. But, you know, it showed like a genuine depiction of an appealing guy to me.
Yes.
And I think a lot of women pick up on that. I want to ask you, though, this is a question that always gets heat. What bothers me is that, first of all, I do think that women oftentimes have a lot of expectations of men. Mm-hmm. And then when you ask them, well, what is it okay for men to expect of you? They just say, well, I take care of myself. I look good. And it's like, well, what else, honey? Mm-hmm. What else beyond looking good? Because it's not all about appearance. That's number one. And also, shitty women. We got to get to this. Why do guys give time to women who don't deserve it? What kind of message does that send? Like, is it just they're using the girls? Mm-hmm. Why give them time at all? If there's a girl out there who's not high value, who's promiscuous, you know you're not going to want to bring that girl home to mom.
Yeah.
Why are you giving her time? What kind of message does that send to the real nice girl in the wings?
So that's a great question, and to me it's the same kind of message that's being sent to the women who's giving the crappy guy the time, the attention, and effort.
Yeah.
The fundamental reality of life is we just have to be honest. You know, there's this scene in Aladdin, one of my favorite movies, when Jafar's character was talking to Aladdin, and he said, Aladdin, have you heard of the golden rule? And he's like, what's the golden rule? He said, whoever has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah.
That's the golden rule. And so what I realized is whoever, the gold is symbolic to many different things. But right, but let's say the gold is power. Whoever has the power, whoever has the value makes the rules. So if somebody has a level of attraction, we allow them to do whatever they want. Mm. And that's the sad thing about society. It's a level of privilege that these individuals have, right? So I can give you a quick story. I remember there was a young lady who I knew, and she was a beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. But she was the rudest person on this planet. And you sit down and you see, like, why are you like this? Because in her world, she learned that I can be as rude as I want, mm-hmm. and I can still get whatever I want. It's like, you're a parent, you know this.
Yes.
Imagine if every time your son, you know, threw his food on the floor and got a temper tantrum, you gave him a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he didn't clean up his bed, you gave him a lollipop. And then eventually do that for all his life. In his brain, he's like, I can do whatever I want and still good things are going to happen to me. Right. What is incentivizing me from doing what's right?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, what happens is you have a whole community of women as well as men who have their whole life have been incentivized to do whatever they want, and people still give them attention. You think about like some of these, I forgot what's the name of the Hollywood actress, Tyler, if you can look it up, is a Hollywood actress who got married 7 or 8 times. I forgot her name. I think it might be Elizabeth something, but Hollywood actress in the 1930s to 50s, she got married like 7 times. How can you get, think about the guy number 5 who married her. Think about the guy number 6.
Yeah.
Number, like, did you not see the first 4 times? She was just so attractive. She was so desirable, people dealt with her nonsense. And so to me, that's one of the biggest things that I saw in society is that, you found it?
Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor. I knew it was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Taylor, yeah.
Like, yo. But she was so beautiful, dudes would put up with her over and over and over again. I saw the picture of Marilyn Monroe outside the same way. Like, you can do whatever you want. And so that's unfortunately what happens. When you have a certain level of attraction, you have a certain level of value to the opposite sex. And they don't care. You can do whatever you want. You can spit on them. You can call them. They can be rude for them. They will give you time. They will give you energy. They'll give you, if they're men, they'll definitely give you money. And so unfortunately, it's a whole community of women who prey on men like that. And they take advantage of men like that. And to me, my biggest beef is like, why are the men incentivizing that? That's always my argument. You incentivize what you want to see more. If you are a mom, you know this. When I was a preschool teacher, we taught this. You got to celebrate what you want to see more of in this world. If you're constantly giving all these half-naked girls views and going on their OnlyFans and watching them on pornography, how do you expect the next generation to not do these things? So,
well, that's my challenge. It's like they're talking about high-value women. And what I hear them saying is someone who respects, a woman who respects herself, a woman who wants to be a good mom, a woman who is supportive and respectful and caring and keeps a beautiful home and values those things and is intelligent. And I hear all of these characteristics and I'm like, okay, if that's high value, how is that high value woman going to feel if you're spending your time and your money and your energy catering to a woman who doesn't have any of those things and instead is just sleeping around with you and six other guys on the side? And I understand, like, men are hardwired for sex. I understand for them, sometimes it's just about the sex, but that's not the message that that high value woman out there is getting.
100%. And that's to me is where I'm going back to solutions. When you genuinely don't care about solutions, you're not thinking the way you and I are thinking. Mm-hmm. When you're genuinely trying to create solutions to society, you say, I don't care how hardwired you are to sex. That is creating an unhealthy message. You are contributing to the problem in society. Yeah. As much as you complain about the OnlyFans girl, the girls on Instagram models and all that stuff, you are contributing to the unhealthy behaviors. So yes, you're 100% right. As a man, you need to have that hard line. But in their worlds, they'll go to the strip clubs. They'll pay for the escorts. They'll go overseas and deal with the prostitutes. They're like, well, we're just men. And like, you don't realize you are, there is a marketplace. If there was no marketplace that men, if there was no men spending money doing this, she couldn't do this. If she opened the OnlyFans and she only got $15, guess what? She'll get her butt off the couch and get a real job and actually contribute to society instead of pushing out that toxicity. But unfortunately, there's a whole community of men, the same men that talk about we want a high value woman are the same men lining these women's pockets. Mm-hmm. And then you want to complain about women today. You can't have it both ways. Either incentivize what you want to see in the world. Don't pay for the OnlyFans. Don't be sleeping around with these unhealthy women. Don't be giving them any attention because the currency, especially for women, is attention. Don't give them a single lick of attention. Or you go ahead and understand this is the world we live in. Don't whine about the world we live in and do your thing. Mm-hmm. But you can't have it both ways. And men and women both want to have it both ways.
You talk about sexual discipline for a man. For a man in particular, I had seen a clip, it's your Instagram. Tyler, can you flip to me to number 6 and play his IG, and then we can get your reaction. It's your words, but I want the audience to hear it.
Yeah. But most men lack all sexual discipline. Their bodies say Pornhub, they do. Their body says she's here, they have no discipline. There's gonna come a time in the day for all the guys who struggle with pornography that woman that you see in that pornography video is gonna want you in person. And you're gonna be married and you're gonna have children. And if you've never learned, I'm not talking about no average Betty, I'm not talking about no, you know, big beluga whales. I'm talking about the woman that you're watching on those videos, a woman like that is gonna want you.
In 3D.
And she gonna, and the difference is, it's one thing when you're having to talk to her and no, she's
on you. She's right on it. Yeah.
And if you never learn discipline, I'm telling you, literally, you will fall and you can potentially.
So that's a unique message that I don't hear a lot from the red pill community in particular.
100%.
And oftentimes some of them will say, well, a guy doesn't need to exercise any discipline at all because there's a separate set of rules for men and women.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who believes create the relationship you want, create the paradigm you want. If it makes you happy, I don't care. If you, as long as you're both in it, you understand the terms and no one's cheating or doing anything nasty. But this idea of sexual discipline is interesting to me. Why is it important for men, and how do they get that? How do they exercise that muscle?
Great question. I think the uniqueness between me is I come from a faith-based background. That's the foundation of my ideas. I truly believe in order to speak the truth, you must go to the source of the truth, which I believe is God. And so to me, I'm obsessed. I don't care about me being right. I care about the truth going out. So I love learning from different people. I love learning and improving because I'm obsessed with the truth going out. A lot of these people, especially in the red pill community, they swear that they have the truth. Men, beware any individual in this planet who says, I am the way, I am the truth. You listen to me, I will tell you everything right about life. That's a cult leader 101. Versus somebody who says, yo, I'm trying to aspire for the truth. I want you to investigate, learn for yourself, and I want you to find what's best for you in your life. So all these individuals in those communities who swear that the orders of truth, they're extremely dishonest and extremely destructive to the lives of innocent young men who do not know. And I want the men to use their wisdom to figure out the truth for themselves. So going back to sexual discipline, because of having a faith-based background, in Christian theology, you learn about the importance of sexual discipline, especially when you understand the story of Samson. The story of Samson in the Bible is a deep story. I hate how people treat Bible stories like they're children's stories. They're not children's stories. It's a really deep story. So long story short, Samson is an Israelite judge. And back in the day, a judge wasn't like a judge and gavel. Those were actually leaders. Mm-hmm. So he was one of the leaders of the Israelite people. There was a rule in back in those days in Israel where you do not marry non-Jewish women. So like there's like the land was called the Canaanites. You don't marry Canaanite women. Mm-hmm. Samson did not follow that rule. He loved the Canaanite women. And the story continues and it continues. So one day he's with a woman named Delilah. And Delilah was actually paid off by Samson's enemies to want to kill him. But Samson was a super strong guy. He had all the muscles, all the strength, and no one can kill Samson because he's super powerful. But they needed to find Samson's weakness. So they used Delilah to find out Samson's weakness because after in bed, during pillow talk, after he did his thing, she would ask Samson, what's your weakness, Samson? What's weak? Where's your weakness? And eventually told her his weakness, which is his hair. This is when she cut his hair. The guys came in and they took Samson away. That story and so many more teach you about as a man, if you do not have discipline over your body, you have discipline over your decision making, those decisions will ruin your life. So to me, I've clearly seen that as a man, that if you have the wrong woman in your life, if you bring the wrong person into your life, it will ruin your life. So to me, I've seen so many stories of men who they are married to the wrong women. Why? Because they were so obsessed with having sex, they never actually vetted her, never asked the right question, they never see if she's a woman of character. All they were consumed with was what she did in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. But if that man had sexual discipline, and sex wasn't the end all be all of his life, mm-hmm. guess what could happen? He could actually objectively analyze her to see if she actually fit his life and to avoid the train wreck before it occurred. On top of that, with pornography. How many men today struggle with pornography? They're spending hours upon hours of days watching pornography. They can't even focus. Mm-hmm. I hear story of man after man dealing with it. Why? Because they never had sexual discipline. And to my last point, as a man, if your whole life you went from, I see, I smash, I see, I smash, I see, I smash. One day you get married. Or one day, let's say you're an anti-marriage guy like those red pill extremists. Let's say one day you're in a relationship with a woman that you actually value. And maybe one day you're like, you know what? I'm done sleeping around. And you talk to her about, yo, it's just you and me. And then all of a sudden, because you never learned discipline, mm-hmm. you then sleep around for another woman, you get her pregnant. Mm-hmm. What happens to your relationship? I cannot tell you how many men today ruin a great woman because they lack sexual discipline. Mm-hmm. And so to me, there's 75 other ways that sexual discipline benefits a man's life. But so many men today, the reason that they struggle is because of discipline. And it also, so many men, they're not even about their purpose. They're about getting laid. The only reason some people are making money, only reason some people are in the gym, because they're trying to get laid. But imagine if you weren't so consumed with sex and you were actually consumed with becoming a better human being. Imagine how many great things you can accomplish. Mm-hmm. Imagine how great of a person you can be. And so my biggest thing is that when you are a guy and you're constantly flooding your brain with pornographic images, mm-hmm. when you're constantly flooding your brain with simply trying to go out and sleep around, there is no way that you can be on your purpose and fulfill the purpose that God has put on this planet for you to achieve. And so sexual discipline to me is a man's superpower, and so little men have that ability in their lives.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic point. Like, I was going to simplify and just be like, don't be always led by the package. Don't let the package lead you what you're going to do. I know it's hard. You know, men have these impulses sexually and physically, and they're very visual. Men are very visual, so it's like you see candy, it's like, oh, I gotta taste that, you know. Like, so and some of it is just at that basic level, but oftentimes, you know, the women that you're attracted to, you got to make sure they check some other boxes or you're gonna be miserable. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately you wind up in a marriage and you realize, well, this isn't going to be a good mother to my child, and this maybe isn't someone who really cares about me at a deeper level. So that's absolutely important. I want to ask you about marriage. Mm-hmm. You've talked a lot about marriage. Some now today are feeling like marriage is dead, it's dying. The divorce rates are discussed a lot. I actually have some stats on that are pretty interesting. But I think there's two issues when it comes to a male and female union. I think you have women today that are very oftentimes afraid to lean on a man financially. They're very uncomfortable with that. They've been told for a very long time that that's a dangerous thing to do. They've been told for a very long time that, oh, well, what if he leaves you? I actually think it's deeper than that. I think it's that women want to be able to leave the guy. I think in their minds, they say, well, I want to be able to leave. Mm-hmm. So I need to make sure my career is still happening. I need to make sure my money is still coming in. I need to make sure that if I do leave and I get one foot out the door, that I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a very self-protective way to look at marriage. In the same respect, I think that men are very self-protective before they get married. They don't want to get married because they're like, well, I don't know, like, what's in it for me? Yeah. And is she going to run away with all my money? And why would I do this? Why? What is she going to bring to the table in terms of the home? Like, what? I don't know. This seems like all risk and potentially very little reward. Mm. So my struggle is, if women and men both look at life and at the structure of marriage as, I need to be self-protective, I can't go all in, it's doomed, it's dead, because mm-hmm. that's not how people looked at marriage years ago. They really did jump all in. And they were jumping all in because they cared about family and stability and recognized what that stable unit can bring to a community, to a state, to a country. Mm-hmm. So how do you fix that dynamic of not just distrust, but self-protection 100%. In marriage?
Great question. And so to me, I really love what you just pointed out, because one of the reasons why I'm so adamant about marriage, and you would appreciate this from a political perspective, if an individual is not dependent upon their family, who will they be dependent upon?
Government,
exactly, the state. They'll be dependent upon the government, the state. The more families corrode, the more we have to be dependent upon the government, the more the government has power, the more the government will abuse the power, the more we have the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates. Now, think about it. You have a whole generation of kids who their moms, hardworking women, have to drop their kids off at daycare. You have young children. You know how innocent their minds are.
Yep.
Imagine now we have state-run daycares teaching them about vaccines and mandates.
It's happening right now,
and gender
guys.
Identity. You're right. It's happening. I'm talking about true statewide type of, like, every single place is teaching the same ideologies. Mm-hmm. We're printing out these communist machines. Mm-hmm. That, like you said, is happening now. But trust me, people think it can't get worse. You haven't seen anything yet.
Well, it can get more obvious.
Yes.
Let me say that. Yes. It can get more obvious because it is happening now. That is what's happening in the school systems. It's just maybe it's not as obvious because they're afraid to put it front and center and declare it. But it absolutely is happening already. And it is because of the death of community. And I remind people, and not to interrupt you, I'm going to let you get back, but just not interrupt. I talk about the system all the time. Guys in the chat, guys at home listening, the system wants you single. They don't want you married. Because the system needs you single. It's more likely if you're single, you're going to become depressed. It's more likely you're going to become dependent. It's more likely that you're not going to be part of a community. You're not going to be part of a family unit. It's more likely that you're going to fall into trouble in your life. You're going to wind up leaning on the shoulders of government. And also you will be weaker as a result. Yeah. It's not a position of strength, and they know it, which is why they want men and women isolated from each other. And they're breaking down communities all across this country. what you just said is so important about how family used to be. And I say this to my mom all the time. I know she's listening. I say, you know, kids used to be raised and it was like you were in a community and aunts and uncles and grandparents were there if mom and dad had something to do. Now it's like everything is delegated outside.
Yes.
Outside that community. Mm-hmm. And who knows what's going on in that kid's school. You see it. Maybe there's a drag show for kids that day. 100%. Who knows? So I'm back to you.
No, this is absolutely.
You get me going on politics. I told you.
I know I'm going to get you going. Know. I know you got to get, I got to get you going. It wouldn't be a show without me getting you going. So to me, I'm so big on that, especially in the black community. Mm-hmm. When I sat down with Candace Owens, you know, I love Candace. We always have a great time whenever we talk. And we obviously come from a lot of different views politically. But what me and her both agreed upon is the biggest issue plaguing black America is single parent households. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue, the reason why there's a welfare state is because there's a breakdown in the families. It is the biggest issue. So I can never be a proponent, which is why I get so mad on the other side of the internet. I'm like, yo, how can you be a proponent of any ideology, philosophy, whatever, anthropology, whatever the heck they're calling it nowadays, that it's teaching men to not be creating stable nuclear families? How can you in the black community support that idea when you see what it's done for the past 60, 70 years? How could you be so naive to accept that unhealthy ideology? And so to me, you're right. Is there issues with marriage? And I would love to hear the statistics. We can really get deep with that. Is there issues with marriage? Yes, because what's happened, to your point, there is a lot of animosity between the genders. Feminism, we can talk about it, has poisoned the minds of college-educated women to view society as a demonic patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And in a demonic patriarchy, what men want more than anything is power over you. And they want to control you. Mm-hmm. And they want to take away your reproductive rights. And they want to put you in this handmaiden's tale dystopia where mm-hmm. you have nothing to do but simply make babies. So now these women are on the defense mode.
They're on
the defense mode. They're like, oh my gosh, these men are out to get me. I can't let them open the door because I've opened the door. We have power. You know, like that's literally what's going on in their brains. And so then you also have a community of men. And like I said, there's a lot of bad things that's happened to men. But then you have a community of men who all they talk about is the bad. And I give the example all the time. Imagine you watching a TV show or watching the news, and every single story is painting the people on the right like Nazis, mm-hmm. people on the right as Klan members, and it's true stories. We're talking about the worst side of the right, West Virginia hillbillies, like, and all you did 24/7 is watch that news channel. Mm-hmm. How would you really feel about people on the right? Mm-hmm. You would think they're all hillbilly, Nazi, Klan members, because the media, as you said, the media misinformation, as Tyler pointed out, will deceive you. So also what's happening is that you have these YouTube channels that all they do is spout out the worst case scenario of women, the worst women in today's society, the worst problems in today's society, women taking half my money, she stole my kids, and all of a sudden, like, all of it is worst case scenario. Now, how are the men going to feel? Mm-hmm. I got to protect my money. I got to protect myself. Now you're paranoid. Now you're tinfoil right. hat and you're like, no, I got my shotgun. The state's not about to come in here and get me, right?
Yeah.
So now you have those two people. How the heck are they going to get married? Mm-hmm. How are those two people going to come together? And so to me, I see that as a problem. And that's why I'm so passionate about the solutions.
And by the way, that's the goal. That is absolutely the goal. You know, you can call it the system. You can call it the matrix. You can call it whatever you want. But the goal is to have women believe they don't need men, to have women believe that men are out to get them, to have women believe that they can't lean on a guy in any capacity, that 100%. It's a dangerous situation, to have women be afraid of men in many ways, including men that they don't need to be afraid of and who haven't given them any reason to be afraid of them. And at the same time, have men, you know, think that all women are trying to castrate them. Mm-hmm. Because then, again, you are not going to get that union. You're not going to get that family. You're not going to get any of that. You can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, but you can bet your butter that there's a population control element of this. I'm not going to go there. Tyler's like, oh, you know you want to. You know you want to. Tyler, just wave to me if you want me to come to you.
We got a few here.
Let's go.
It's Morningstar, $20. Create sexual discipline when most men are not having sex. A third of men are virgins and haven't had sex in a year. Men that are 5'8 don't even meet the height for most women. Men or women are not having sex in the same rate.
Okay, let's stop right there, Tyler. Let's break down that conversation because I don't think people even understand what the word sexual discipline is. So that 5'8 guys, who 5'8 guys making $35,000 a year right now in Cleveland, Ohio, who's a virgin, who's not having sex, what else is he doing with his time? What is he doing with his time? Is he just sitting down like, man, I'm a virgin and I'm not having sex and I'm just going to sit here and do nothing? No, he's probably watching pornography. He's probably paying for OnlyFans. He's probably doing other things like that. So let's start right there. Part of lacking sexual discipline is, yo, you are putting your energy into the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, there is a huge pornography problem. And what pornography does to men is sedates men. And we can get super deep and super into the psychology of it. But what pornography does, it tricks your brain to think that I'm having sex. So because you're spending all day watching pornography, your brain doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't know what a cell phone is. It just knows, wow, you're getting releases. Wow, I'm hearing these women panting and screaming, and go daddy, and all kinds of, like, your brain literally thinks that you're having sex. So that masculine drive, that energy, that motivation, the things that make men great, that make them go out into the world and build, that's now being sedated because you're watching porn all day long. And so now, yes, you're a virgin. Yes, these guys are not having sex, but guess what? It's only perpetuating the problem. Mm-hmm. But by being able to exercise sexual discipline and say, you know what? I know it's hard right now, but I'm gonna create a healthy plan. And there's a lot of apps and books and resources to help men overcome pornography. And you learn that discipline, guess what happens? Testosterone levels goes up. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, I have more energy to go into the gym. I have more energy to apply for a little bit more jobs. I have more energy to put myself out there. And then by going into the gym, building myself up, by applying for more jobs and getting a job, by building myself up, then I'll be able to get a woman of substance in my life. Mm-hmm. So the biggest problem I have is just a victim mindset. Yes, we know it. We know half a third of gurus are not having sex. We know that. But we also know that what is the solution? The solution cannot be sit down, watch more porn. Mm-hmm. Solution cannot be sit down and pay for more OnlyFans, scroll mindlessly on TikTok and like girls who will never care about you. Solution is not follow random girls on Instagram and go through the explore page. That's not the solution. Mm-hmm. And so my biggest thing is, yes, sexual discipline is important, especially for that kind of guy who's going through difficulty in life, who's probably struggling with pornography, to be able to help him get up and take real discipline into his life. Because what happens is, sexual discipline leads to other forms of discipline, mm-hmm. leads to financial discipline, leads to physical discipline, leads to emotional discipline. It leads to other areas of your life that will lead to success, and that will lead you from going from that 30-year-old, 20-year-old virgin to actual man contributing in today's society.
You know, I got to tell you, though, I mean, when I consume television, when I consume reality shows, I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I see guys just castrated. I mean, it's acceptable for guys to be figuratively castrated on television. It's celebrated. It's celebrated by women. They cheer. I talked about The Bachelorette on here. I mean, it was disgusting what they did to that guy on national television. And I think it's really hard for young men to feel like they're now in a society where it's like, I'm the bad guy on day one, no matter what. I'm expected to do all of these things or I'm not considered valuable. You know, I can't have any expectations of a woman or I'm deemed misogynistic. There's a society that actively wants to villainize me immediately. I think that can be very crippling. And my advice to men is always work on yourself. You know, get into the gym, get your endorphins running, take care of yourself, you know, get a good job, you'll feel good about yourself. Get that all in order, and you have to try to ignore a lot of what's going on in mainstream media and society right now, but it's not easy. I mean, I can't even stomach it as a female. And one of the reasons for that is because I have a little boy and I'm like, oh my God, in 20 years, what is this world going to be for my son?
Yeah.
You know, I'm raising this beautiful, kind, you know, strong, respectful son, and people are going to want to criminalize him on day one because he's a guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's unacceptable to me. So I really think what this movement, you know, needs, and what I've been doing for years, is I think women need to rally behind good men.
Yeah.
Women need to speak up for good men and say, like, speak up for your son, your father, your brother, your neighbor, and say, you know, masculinity is a positive thing. It's not toxic. It's not yes. toxic automatically. I'm sure there's some toxic masculinity out there, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever that even means. But, you know, they need to speak up for men. And I'm exhausted by watching the onslaught, and I'm always trying to, you know, imagine if I were a guy now, a young guy living in this world. You go into academia, they want you to sit down and shut up. You know, you go into the workforce and you're told, oh, there's a gender pay gap, even if you're putting in more hours and more time than a female. Yeah. You there's all of these expectations and all of these lies told about you before you've even had a chance to prove who you are.
And then on the flip side, this is where I'm always going back to solutions. I know we can go back to Tyler if we want to go some more this, the comments, is that all these things are true. There are so many lies out there, but also there's more positive information out today than ever was before. We live in the greatest country that's ever existed on planet Earth. We're living in the 21st century. There is a lot of nonsense, garbage, BS, toxicity, foolishness, X, Y, and Z going on in today's world. But we also live in the land of opportunity. And that's the point that we always got to go back to.
Yeah.
We're living in America. We're not living in freaking 1400 BC during the bubonic plague or whatever era where you're just screwed and third of us, we're going to die. We're living in really good times, and we have to take advantage of it now ever more than before. If you are a young man, there is content out there that's going to celebrate your masculinity, celebrate who you are. You have women like Jedediah who is encouraging you, who's telling you positive, healthy things. Now more than ever before, there is information out there, which is why I'm so obsessed, and you always hear me talk about this. I'm obsessed with the kind of information men are consuming, because if all you're doing is hearing people saying you're toxic, you ain't this, you are demonic, you're a patriarchal, misogynistic, anti-trans, all of that. If that's all you're doing, how else will you feel? No, turn off those channels. Don't subscribe to those content creators and surround yourself with positivity. People who are encouraging your masculinity, giving you tools to be successful, healthy, uplifting content. Surround yourself with that. And so my biggest thing is, yes, a lot of that stuff is going on in the world. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. All we can do to fight back the darkness is to bring more light. That's all we can do. And I just want all those men who are in the darkness to find positive, healthy content, positive, healthy messages, positive, healthy tools and resources to become a better individual, because that garbage can only last for so long and the truth will always win.
Yeah, I always tell guys, I say, let it motivate you. Let reality, even if it's bad, because it is right now, I'm going to be honest with you, like, there is a machine out there. It's not just mainstream media. It's big mainstream media. It's big pharma. It's so many bigs that are trying to come after truly young, healthy men. They've got to get the guys. They've got to weaken you, or the whole system. They can't get to the rest of the system. That it has to happen. So I always say, you know, see that, acknowledge it. Recognize, yes, they are trying to figuratively castrate you on national television sometimes and through films and whatever. Understand what's happening and then let that motivate you to not allow it to sink you. You know, let it make you stronger. Care about what food you put into your body. Care about, you know, being, you know, self-sufficient. Care about being able to get that big plot of land and be somewhat untouchable by the system. Care about having that family that you can count on, and just be everything that they don't want you to be, which is strong, independent, self-sufficient, capable, all of those things. So I always say, let it motivate. You don't have to live in the dark. You don't have to live in some idealistic utopia that's not real. Recognize what's real, but don't let it sink you. Let it do the opposite. 100%. So Tyler, we'll come back to you.
Brad gave $10. Rules of parenting. Number one, do not reward behavior you do not want. Number two, do not punish behavior you do want. Number three, do not tell kids about rules one or two. God help you if you get the punishment and reward mixed up.
Spoken like a true parent.
Marriage causes divorce, aptly named. Gave a few different super chats. Gen X women are prepared to endure the difficult times that marriage brings. Millennials and Gen Z are too quick to divorce. Are prenups essential?
Prenups is a fascinating argument. I want to, just because they asked about divorce, I had come with some statistics. We're going over a little bit. I hope that's okay.
No, you're good. Trust me. I'm here for you. You know what I mean? My flight ain't till 5 o'clock.
Oh, awesome.
You got me.
We'll go a little bit over, audience. Yeah. I think divorce and marriage is an important topic. So I looked into the divorce rates in America for 2022. Tyler, I think you have that article. I don't know if you want to show it to them. You can, or I'll just review. Some interesting statistics, though, because I think it's often talked about. People are afraid to get married. They're like, oh, everyone's getting divorced. Well, let's look. Some of the stats I'm going to go through. More people in the U.S. were married in 2021 than in 1960. People are getting married. That is a reality. The average length of a marriage in the U.S., 19.9 years. That's a long time. That's not like boom, boom. That's 20 years of time put in. many people believe that the divorce rate is around 50%. Mm-hmm. However, the actual percentage of marriages that end in divorce, according to this, in the U.S. varies between 40 and 50. This means you are more likely to stay married than dissolve your marriage. So don't believe the hype. More people are getting married and staying married than getting divorced. And also, since 1990, there has been a downward trend in divorce statistics. So it's going the other way. It's actually not the case that more people are getting divorced. Actually, less people are getting divorced. The divorce rate today is lower than a decade ago. And I think there was something about the pandemic. Oh, during the peak of COVID-19, interesting, the number of divorces fell by 12%.
Yeah,
that's a lot, which you would think. I actually thought about it. I was like, well, everybody was home driving each other nuts. Yeah. On the one hand, you're like, wouldn't they have just driven themselves crazy and been like, get out of here? On the other hand, did it create more stability? I don't know. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
So give me your thoughts on divorce. And also, what do you say to people who look at the stats? And even if more people are staying married than divorced, they still feel like the numbers are really high and the odds are against them.
I'm so sorry, Jedediah. While you were talking, I was making all these sounds because I'm so freaking... You don't understand how passionate I am about this subject matter. I did a video a couple months ago called the 50% divorce myth and why did I get married? And obviously, you know, you have the red pill extremists who always want to come on the comments and spew their negativity and disgusting rhetoric, which I never read. so this is important. Whenever you get those guys on that side of the internet to come to your to talk about marriage, they always say, well, the divorce rate is 50%, the divorce rate is 50, 55, 60, 60. They're always giving you these high numbers. And then you actually do the studies yourself. And what you find is actually the divorce rate was at its highest in 1970s. Mm-hmm. Why was it at its highest in 1970s? There's many reasons why we can get into it. But one of the key reasons was because 1970s was the creation of no-fault divorce. That's when they, for the first time, implemented the rules where people can get divorced where you can never get divorced before. So what happened? The rate shot up. Mm-hmm. It was a new technology, and they call it technological shock. When you introduce a new technology to any sphere in society, it causes different rates that the technology affects to increase or decrease. Ever since then, divorce rates have been dropping, especially since the 90s. Divorce is not the way it was before. But I remember people who quote the divorce rates book. I had a human sexuality book from the 1990s, and it quoted the 50% divorce rate books. So people are always quoting these old APA, American Psychology Association studies, which were done back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So people watch these content creators, and these content creators spew their cynicism and their negativity about divorce, and they don't even have the data. Any objective person who's actually looking at the data, such as a woman such as yourself, knows the divorce rate is going down. And there's 75 different reasons why it's going down, but it's going down. So to your point, yes, for most people, you are more likely to stay married. Because also, the divorce rate's also being contributed by the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. When they start dying off, then the divorce rate can be even lower. There's so many different layers to it about the divorce rate because the number doesn't tell the whole story. Mm-hmm. I give a case in point example. The leading cause, Tyler, look up this number. I want to be 100% sure. Type in CDC, leading cause of death, black males. I want you to look up this number because I want to show these numbers for you. I don't want to just me just talk about it. I want to show these numbers to you. And it should be a CDC article. It should be like the first one in the CDC. Yeah, that's perfect right there. Scroll down right there. I feel like I'm Patrick Bedavid right now. Look for 18. Look for 18 through, it should be the younger group. If you keep on scrolling down. Yes. Okay, so what's number one for 1 through 19?
Homicide 35.1 all the way through. Number one all the way through.
They just went through 1 through 19.
It's 35.1.
And that's homicide. Go to, okay, number two, number one, 20 through 44.
Homicide, 26.1.
All right, so we see the leading, I'm going to bring this all together, so please bear with me. The leading cause of death in black males, one through 44 is homicide. So I can say right now, the leading cause of death in males is homicide. Now go to leading cause of death, Asian males, CDC. And let's look at that. Bear with me, everybody. I promise you, it will all come together.
Audience is like, where's he going with this? Where's he going, Hafiz? Yeah.
Same CDC article by age group. Thank you, sir. What's number one?
Suicide, 23.1%. And then when you hit 20, it's unintentional injuries.
So where's homicide from 1 to 19?
Homicide is number 5%.
5%. What's homicide in 20 through 44?
Is not even top 10.
Yeah, all right.
Excuse me, it's number seven. Okay. 4%, yeah.
So let's break down what just happened. I could have easily said to you, well, the leading cause of death in males is homicide, and showed you the black numbers. And you're like, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, 35% of men between the ages of 1 to 19 are dying of homicide? Oh, wow, 24 to 44, I mean, majority of men between 20 to 44 are dying of homicide? But the numbers don't tell the whole story, because the whole other ethnic group that doesn't struggle with that, you go to the Asian community, the homicide is not even in their top three.
Right.
So what you realize is the general numbers don't speak for specific individuals. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's irrelevant. In the black community, homicide is a huge thing. That's a, as your man, that's one of the leading ways you're going to die. Number one, 0 to 44. Asian community is like number five. Mm-hmm. So you can't use a general number and apply it to every distinct individual community. Mm-hmm. How does that apply to divorce? What is the divorce rate? The divorce rate is a general number for all Americans, mm-hmm. all ethnicity, all religious background, all socioeconomic backgrounds, right. all idea. It's just a jump. What does that mean?
Right. So you have to get to the why.
Yes, you have to get to the why. So is a divorce rate for college educated women the same divorce rate as non-college educated women? Is a divorce rate for Asian Americans? Type in the divorce rate for Asian Americans so the people can see it.
Is also by age, younger people. Exactly. I think the highest divorce rate is people who get married
like 18, 19. Very young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's pull up the divorce rate for divorce rate for Asian Americans. So we can go ahead and see that real quick.
Let's see here. Asian and Pacific Islanders.
So, but what the pushback on you from someone would say, well, that's true, and you don't know the specifics of each group. You don't know their socioeconomic status. You don't know what was going on in the home. You don't know about extended family. You don't know any, you don't have any details. Yeah. But the trend has value. Now, with that being said, even so, the trend is that divorces are going down.
Yeah.
So even with that being said, I think that today what I see more than anything is I think there's concern about marriage from both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides are like, how does this stand to benefit my situation?
So let me clarify before, I'm sorry for cutting you off, Jedi, forgive me. But the reason why I was bringing that up is that, so you're 100% right. There is general trends that are affecting different mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
But my biggest thing is, why are those people successful? Why are those
in spite of the trend?
Yeah. Right? So why are those people successful? Why does the Asian community have a divorce rate between 10 to 16% versus the general one that's 40 to 50? What is going on there? Why are college educated women having a lower divorce rate than non college educated women? Mm-hmm. Why are people who have two parents who got married have lower divorce rate than people whose parents didn't have married? Mm-hmm. Why are these things taking place? So to me, that is the solution.
Right.
Let's study those where it's working.
And replicate the success
in today's society. Yeah.
As opposed to complain about the problem, let's figure out why.
What's working. Right. Let's figure out what's working.
Well, that doesn't make a very good talking point
it
now,
doesn't make a good talking point.
That's the problem.
And that's the biggest problem, because the other things, this requires nuance. This requires a respectful man like Tyler doing his mm-hmm. data and analyzing. This respects us having a great conversation. The other things go online. Marriage today is in shambles. And the world's in chaos, and women today are this. That's so easy. That's just easy. That's low-hanging fruit.
I say that a lot about the modern feminist movement, you know, Gloria Steinem and beyond. I, you know, it's easy to say modern feminism wrecked women. That's a great talking point and largely accurate in many ways. Not always, but many ways. But it's harder to say, well, why? What did women get out of that message? How did media pick up on that message? Why is it a problem for them? Are they happier? Are they not happier? Who is happier versus who isn't? What message did it send to men? How did men then start interacting with women differently? I mean, there's so many layers mm-hmm. to what's actually going on. And I agree. I think, listen, if the goal is to just get views, make content, get people mad, I come from a cable news world where the business model is to have people angry. All the time, network TV as well. They want you angry. They want you believing that the other side is the enemy. They want you mad. They want you sweating. They want all of that. Is how they get ratings. That is the business model.
It leads.
100%. All the headlines you see. So I come from that world. And the problem with that world is that then you have a bunch of angry people that aren't more productive, that aren't fixing what's broken, and you have society in decay, really, mm-hmm. as a result. So I would rather, yes, you can say how you feel. If you believe that modern feminism, I say it here all the time, modern feminism has destroyed women in many ways. Okay, now let's talk about why. Mm-hmm. And let me speak to those women that heard that message, that bought it, and let me try to tell you why you may not be happy. You're telling me you're not happy, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about why. Did you follow what they said and it didn't work out? So let's dig into it.
And on top of that, let's give an alternative. That's right. What I'm about. I love what Patrick Bet Davis said. Let's bring both these ideas. Let the ideas battle it out. Mm-hmm. The battle of the ideas win. Let's bring somebody on the far left. Let's bring somebody on this side, balance.
What is your politics, by the way?
I'm not going to tell you.
Have you said that? Am I just not? No, you said you disagree with Candace Owens.
I don't tell anybody. I say I disagree with everybody, okay. So nobody knows where I'm at.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And you sound like an independent to me. And by independent, I mean someone who, yeah. you know, kind of feels out both sides of the aisle and yeah. wants that discussion. I will tell you, though, I used to be more centrist in terms of, not centrist, I was always a conservative, but I used to be more like, hey, let's all get in a room and have that discussion. I am increasingly having a problem with that because I know that a growing part of the left does not want to hear what I have to say.
I'm not that.
Not only that,
yeah.
wants to shut me down,
yeah.
wants me censored, wants me thrown off a television show because I won't get an experimental vaccine,
yeah.
wants me, they aren't interested in debate or conversation. And on top of that, their policies are very destructive, in my opinion. Yes. Very, very destructive. So I'm less and less interested in a friendly conversation and more interested in calling out what's destructive.
I agree with you, and here's where I'm at. I'm less interested in sitting down with the radical feminist with blue hair and her pronouns are zip and zupa. I'm not interested in talking to her. I'm interested in creating an alternative world, an alternative place where women can say, you know what? Here is, you know, feminist Big Red, and here's Jedediah. Feminist Big Red is 45 years old, single, miserable, always going to feminist rallies, always fighting, always arguing, always living with her 17 cats in her little tiny apartment in New York City. Here's Jedediah, happily married, beautiful mm-hmm. children, has a great career, doing a great life. Women, whatever you want, you get to pick. Whose path do you want? And let women pick. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm interested in debating, right. And that ain't gonna work. I want people to see the alternative. Mm-hmm. I want women to be able to look at, because that's what I love what you just said. You said, why did feminism attract those women? Once you figure out the why, create a better message. Mm-hmm. You create a better message and you create a better path for those. Because if you're telling me feminism is the wrong path, then that means there's a better path. Show them the path, right. And that path is your life. Going back to my point of, we have to celebrate more women that we want to see in today's world.
Yeah.
So women are like, oh my gosh, I want to be like Jedediah. I want to have a great career, but also be a married woman and also have a beautiful family, also have values and be dignity and be a beautiful woman, but also be able to be modest and presentable. I want to be you. We need to lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mm-hmm. I'm about. Let's create alternatives so that women and men can see that there is a better way. But you're right. Simply talking to people who think that you're a demon, it's so funny because when I go and sit down with people who are like red pill leaning nowadays, their audience hates me so much. They like even yesterday when this one red pill guy and Adam and I were talking in Alley, the red pill community was just saying all these nasty, degrading things about me. But then my other friend has an audience that's highly feminist, and they hate me so much, and they were saying all these
nasty. Made everybody mad, bottom line.
And so to me, I was like, wow, if these guys on this end of the spectrum think I'm the most pansy, weak, beta male, whatever words they try to throw at me, and then these people on the other end are like, man, you're a misogynistic, macho, chauvinistic, mm-hmm. patriarchal. I'm like, huh. If these two extremes don't like me, I must be doing something right in the middle. And then the people I respect, the Jedediahs of the world, the Patrick Bet Davis of the world, the Jordan B. Peterson of the world, the Jose Zuniga's of the world, all the people I respect who are actually doing great things, like, yo, you're doing great. The Adams of the world. I'm like, oh, I'm in a really good space. Mm-hmm. And so to me, what I've come to realize, like you said, both far right, far left, they don't want to talk. And my thing is, there's no negotiation. I truly believe, you know what? let's build something better. Mm-hmm. Let's build a better city. Let's build a better company. Let's build a better family. Let's build a better society. And then while yours is going to hell in a handbasket, you will look and we will say, we told you so. Mm-hmm. We told you liberal policies in Seattle with Chad would not work. We told you those crazy ideologies of defund the police in Portland would not work. We told you these things won't work. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing them. And now you're seeing our society stable, mm-hmm. healthy, productive, flourishing. Doing well. Mm-hmm. Now people get to pick which one you want to go live in. And the people are not idiots.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Lead by example and show people all of that. I get it all. You're from Texas too, right?
Yeah, I live in Dallas.
There you go. Texas in the house. Tyler's from Texas
yes,
too.
San Antonio.
Texas always bringing Tyler. It. I appreciate today. Do we have any more, Tyler? Are we good? Good. Okay. I appreciate you being here today. I think you do have a very nuanced opinion. We agree, we disagree on some things, but it's a great conversation. Yeah. And one thing that I think is lacking in every space right now is people just talking it through without coming in with like their arm talk. They're ready to fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, they come in with all their stuff and they like fire it away. Yeah. So I very much enjoyed having you here today. People in the chat, thank you so much. I want you to hit that subscribe button. Hit your like button. Is it so hard to just go boom? Come on. You know you want to. You know you want to. Listen, you hit the like button enough times. I told you I'm going to disco ball in here, and Tyler and I are going to do some dancing for y'all. So you know you. Listen. Oh, Tyler.
Do not sign me up for that.
All right. We'll get Eric in here.
I think Eric. Exactly.
Eric. There Eric you go. Eric. Eric. Shy. So he's not happy with us right now. Hafiz, thank you so much for being with me today. I loved it. And we'll definitely have you back for some more fun.
Of course.
But thanks.
Thank you
audience,
so much.
Love you. I will see you next week. I don't know what day I'm here. I don't know my own schedule. Next week will be, let's just say I was built for the storm. Bring it. Talk to you soon.